Learn more about what we do at woundedwarriorproject.org.
Here we go. Hello, hello. We are glad to be back on WWDBAM Talk 860. I'm Thera Martin, and you are now listening to the Allegheny West Radio Show on the eve of Thanksgiving. It's Wednesday, November the 22nd, 2023, and I know a lot of people around the nation that are hyped up and ready to go, some in their kitchens right now preparing for a big family meal on tomorrow. Now, there's some other people who probably don't care about Thanksgiving at all and just don't even observe that particular holiday. It's okay. We got a bunch of holidays in America, some of which some people choose to participate in and celebrate, and others which people say, I'm going to sit out on that one. Well, Thanksgiving is one of those holidays that I don't think you will ever see Thera Martin sit out on. Why? I love to eat. But I also love my family. I love my family so much. And the honest reality is that because, praise God, so much of my family is employed. They've got jobs. They work every day. We don't get to gather like back in the old days when family members sat down to dinner together every night. And on Sundays, it might be even a bigger gathering of family members that come together in one household from different areas, but family, blood family, to break bread together. I think that's so important. I think it's healthy. It's good. It's the way things should be. But in the real world, we got to take jobs when we can get them. Sometimes we might not like the schedule for our job. I know some family members who won't be able to join us on Thanksgiving because one works in a hospital, one is a police officer. I mean, they are jobs that, you know, we need you when we need you. We don't care about no holiday. We need you. And so for everyone who is observing Thanksgiving, and for those who are not but wish that you could be, we still hope you have a great, great day. And for those who are working, I hope and I pray that you have loved ones who are going to save some of that good food for you, put it aside so that when you get off work, you can still yet enjoy. Now, a little bit before 8:30 today, this morning on the program, we're going to be joined by Reverend Gregory Halston, who will be representing on behalf of the 57 Plus Blocks Initiative. It's an initiative to help address the violence and crime and the craziness in our city. And along with him will be the pastor of Salt and Water Church at 5736 Chester Avenue, Pastor Sean James. Together, they will talk about an event that is happening on November the 30th at the church, at that location in Southwest Philly, on Chester Avenue, 5736 Chester Avenue. They're doing this event 6 p.m. on November the 30th. To further discuss next steps in addressing violence and dealing with the crime and all of that, and preparing another document that will be an updated version, I believe, of what they initially put out months ago when they announced that they were even forming this group, the 57 Plus Blocks Initiative. Now, the blocks that they are focusing on are blocks where there's been 10 or more murders over a certain period of time. Can you imagine? And now, to date, there's well over 57. They named their organization when they first formed this coalition, 57 Plus Blocks Initiative. But there's now well more over 57 blocks in the city of Philadelphia where there's been 10 or more murders or gun violence on those blocks. Wow. That's terrible. Terrible. But anyway, when my guests join me at 8:30, Reverend Gregory Halston and Reverend Sean James, they'll tell that story here on WWDBAM Talk 860. And then Before we close out the hour, we're supposed to be joined by Mr. Charles Brewer. Charles Brewer is the co-owner of Jazzy Shears Beauty Salon on North 22nd Street. And he and his wife have developed some new hair care products and called Black Jasmine. And he will talk about that for a few minutes on the program this morning. And that's what we'll do. Now, Lorraine Savage was supposed to join me at 8:10 this morning. She is another proud owner of a business on North 22nd Street. Lorraine Savage has been in business on North 22nd Street for over 30 years. She's got two storefronts. One is called Lorraine's Upscale On Sale Boutique. Every time I go in that store, don't I buy something? Every time. And her prices are very affordable, so it's not like, oh, you got to go in there and one item is going to be $150 by itself. She has very reasonable prices. I love her store. I love her products. And we wanted to shine the spotlight on her this morning. We're stepping into the holiday shopping season, and I wanted to be able to talk about some of the business owners that I know who've got great services, great products, and we wanted you to know about them too. But anyway, Ms. Lorraine had said initially that she would join me at 8:10 this morning, but then I got a text message close to midnight last night, a real hard time to book another guest, and she said she couldn't do it because she had a family obligation this morning. It's turkey time. I get it. I'm not mad at nobody. TJ, when I drove into the parking lot of this wonderful space where we are at WWDB, it's like no cars out there. I'm like, people are taking off already. People are acting like today is the holiday. I'm jealous.
Well, even the airport, too. I was doing Lyft the other day, and the airport was packed all week.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. And I heard this is the busiest year that people are traveling.
Yeah, because it's been a while since people got to really hang out with their families, those that were trying to be safe during the pandemic and whatnot. So this is like, everybody's cut loose. We get ready to go and visit grandmom and go wherever. People are off. And so for this building, like, is the radio station officially up and running today, or just hard, smart working people like you have to come in?
It's up and running all day.
Okay.
And tomorrow, but tomorrow we have, you know, we already have stuff in this, you know, in the system
special
already.
Special programming, but of course. Okay. But so yeah, the parking lot is like empty. I'm used to, you know, coming in. I never have to fight for a space coming in at, you know, 7:30 in the morning to do an 8 a.m. show. But today you can pick any space that's out there. It's like, I'm like, wait a minute, is anybody working? And then I came in the building and I needed some tea for my throat today. And I was praying that the cafe downstairs was open. I said, oh God, please let them be open. They're open. Yay. So I was able to get some tea so I can work on this. I got a little cough going on. I don't feel sick at all. I don't have a temperature or anything. And I'm fully vaccinated, up to date with all my stuff, flu shot, COVID shot, RSV shot. I got all that, shingle shot. I got everything they wanted to give me. I took it. Here's my arm. Okay, finished with that one. Here's the other arm. But I still want to be careful. So I feel a little something going on. So I got my hot tea with lemon and honey. And as soon as I get out of here, I'm going to go home and gargle with warm salt water and just let it sort of go down on there. And then I may take some over-the-counter medicine, too, because I ain't trying to fool around. I don't want to be sick. I mean, I want to live. I want to live healthy. I got things to do. And I don't know if it's about getting older as you're aging, and I'm now 65, proud to be 65, or if it's just my attitude is changing or what. But I treasure every day of life. And like in my head, I want to do all these things. Like every day I have a list of things to do. There's things that I have to do for my job, Allegheny West Foundation. And then I write for the Scoop newspaper, which is another job. So I got stuff to do for Sherry Darden. And then I have Thera stuff to do. And so I'm on a mission every day. And I don't want to be sick. I don't have no time to be laid up in the bed not feeling good. That's like blah, blah, blah. I don't want to do it. And it's a holiday. And I want to just be healthy so I can hug on my family members, my grandchildren, my great-grandbaby, and everybody. I just want to, you know, be around people and stuff. So being sick shouldn't be around people. So I'm not even calling it. I'm not claiming it. But I'm going to do the tea and the honey and the lemon right for now. And when I get out of here, when I get off the air, straight to the warm salt water gargle and then some over-the-counter medication because I'm not trying to fool around. Now, I heard that you were up and out early yesterday, Mr. TJ. You all can't see TJ. He's the wonderful producer that I have here at WWDB. Wonderful young man. But he was telling me that he was out at 3 a.m. You all did something special yesterday at WWDB. Talk about it.
So it was for MGK, WMGK.
Okay. Your sister station.
Yeah.
Owned by the Beasleys.
They did it was called a turkey drop. So, the main turkey drop, there were people at the Kimmel Center where they were broadcasting, mm-hmm. and I was at the board, but I had to get up at 3 a.m. to get here at by 5. Mm-hmm. And, we just did a turkey drop in like 14 different locations. People wow. donated turkeys and, money as well. So that was nice, from 7 to 12, I think.
Nice. Well, Allegheny West Foundation, which regularly gives away food anyway, whether it's Thanksgiving or Easter or just a regular week, we are committed to giving out free food in our community, food that people can take home and put in their refrigerator and then prepare later on. But so last Wednesday, which was the 15th, we did our food giveaway, which was very successful. Oh, we had all kinds of big, fat chickens and we had pork and we had fresh veggies and onions and green peppers and we had the yams and just everything that you really need for a Thanksgiving meal. It was great giving it all away. And then the day after that, my boss said, "Thera, we're doing turkeys on Friday." So while we had a really big and a wonderful food giveaway on Wednesday, November the 15th, on the 17th, we were back at it outside in front of the Panatti Recreation Center at 3101 North 22nd Street. And we had about 350, close to 400 turkeys to give away in our community. And we were able to do that. And we still ran out of turkeys before we ran out of people standing in line. And you feel so bad when you run out and there's no more left. But only thing we can tell people is it's a first-come, first-served situation. And our organization wasn't the only one. Philadelphia City Councilman at Large, Isaiah Thomas, he did a turkey giveaway in conjunction with Triumph Baptist Church. I know the Black clergy of Philadelphia and vicinity, they did a turkey giveaway. A ton of organizations were giving away free turkeys. Phil Abundance, let me take my hat off to you. Phil Abundance is one of the food partners that Allegheny West Foundation normally works with anyway, doing food giveaways, but they had their own food giveaway this past Saturday, November the 18th. I'm so over turkeys, I don't know what to tell you. Because some people, I honestly believe, who come out and get the free turkeys that are being given away by different organizations and nonprofits and what have you, are just simply taking advantage of an opportunity. Oh, free turkey. Oh, I don't have to buy one. And they've got they're gainfully employed. They can afford a turkey. You can buy a turkey for, what, $20, $24. You know, if you buy the real big fat ones, yeah, it's going to cost a little bit more. But people just take advantage sometimes. Not everybody, but some people take advantage. Then there's people who get in a line to get free food or turkeys or what have you because they are honestly getting it to give to someone else who cannot drive, who cannot get there, who may be homesick, elderly, they're shut-ins, and that's okay. But see, everybody doesn't know your story. Like if people saw me in line, they'd be like, "Thera, now look, I know you got a job. What you doing standing in line to get this free food for and look at me all cross-eyed?" But what they don't know is that I'm going to then leave that food giveaway where I stood in line, and I'm going to drop off food at 3-4 different houses where senior citizens live who always tell me, "Oh, we wish we could come, but I don't drive," or "I wish I could come, but I just don't feel good." So I take care of them, and I'm not the only one. At Allegheny West Foundation, other of my colleagues do the same thing too. After we get finished handing out all the food that we have for the people who come to the Panatti Recreation Center, whatever is left, then we box that up and we take it to senior citizens' homes and what have you. So we just try to do a good job. By the way, this radio program is brought to you by the Allegheny West Foundation. And we work every day to lift up our community and to make a positive difference in our part of North Philadelphia. Thank you, God, for the Allegheny West Foundation. I've been with Allegheny West Foundation since 2013. In 2018, I told my boss, "Okay, I'm done. I'm moving out of town. I'm marrying my high school sweetheart, going to North Carolina. Thank you for everything you've done for me over the years. I appreciate you. I'm out." And I said, "But I can still do work from North Carolina if you want me to, by email and whatnot, because I love my job." And I didn't really, really want to leave. But my husband was like, "Okay, I got this beautiful house in North Carolina. Let's go live there." And so my boss said, nah, well, you know what? Just go on and enjoy your life, and we'll stay in touch every now and then, say hey, and that's the end of that. Well, right after we moved to North Carolina, we weren't in North Carolina 2 months, and the pandemic hit. And the pandemic, of course, changed the world for all of us. And so many people started working remotely. And so I didn't have anything official, but my heart was thinking about my business owners on North 22nd Street and throughout that part of North Philadelphia, and just thinking about all of Philadelphia. I'm in North Carolina worrying about and thinking about my peeps back here in Philly, from my blood family to my friends and my adopted family and my colleagues that I've worked with over the years and all of the businesses that I've worked to support from 2013 up until 2018 as the business corridor manager for North 22nd Street and throughout that area. And so anyway, I just started on my own speed calling up business owners one by one, because I still had everybody's contact numbers, their email addresses, and I'm calling them. Are y'all all right? What's going on? Particularly after George Floyd was murdered in Minnesota by police officers, and all hell broke loose, and rioting and looting and stuff, not only out there in Minnesota, but in Philly and New York and Chicago and just like everywhere, people were acting crazy. And so I just started calling to check in on my business people to see, are y'all okay? Did you get looted? What's going on? And then I typed up a report from what people were telling me on the phone, the business owners. And I sent it to my boss, and I sent it downtown to the Commerce Department, unasked, mind you. Nobody asked me to do this. I'm just doing it. And the next thing I know, I got a message back from my boss through the Commerce Department saying, we need you back on our team. You did a beautiful report. The report that you gave was better than some reports that people are writing who are in Philly on the ground going around to other business quarters to check and see what's the damage, what's going on, who got looted, who got hit. And that's how I started back working for Philadelphia through Allegheny West Foundation from North Carolina, and did it for almost 3 years, working remotely, doing reports, calling, using my telephone to call my business owners and see how they're doing. Do you need help filling out an application for a grant, one of these emergency grants? I'll help you. All of that. We did it, and we got it done, even remotely. And I did not know back in 2018 that I would be moving back to Philadelphia. I thought I'd be in North Carolina till I died, that you know, my husband and I would be together, and we'd ride or die together and just be together. And I had no idea that I would be coming back to Philly. But things change. Circumstances change. I'm back at home. I feel blessed. I'm thankful to be here. I love Philadelphia, always have. And it's just nice to be able to come home. So here we are. And in the process, I stepped right back into my job, working with the Allegheny West Foundation, which I had been working with them remotely during the pandemic anyway. But it just felt good to come home, be welcomed back, and then to have Cherie Darden. I wasn't back in Philadelphia 2 days, and she called me. And she says, Thera, I got to go out of town to see my mother-in-law in Georgia. Can you fill in for me over at WWDB on Inside Scoop? And I didn't even hesitate. I'm like, sure, I'll do it. But I was actually kind of nervous. I'm like, I haven't walked into the new WWDB in many, many years. But the truth of the matter is, WWDB is where I got my start in radio. And like nobody, next to nobody knows this. And I guess it's my own fault because I don't really talk about it a lot. But this is where, well, this was my second start. My first start was in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, at WNOV-AM radio station while I was still in college. I got my first internship. It was there. I loved it. I was starstruck about being in radio from that moment on. But when I completed my college studies and came back home to Philadelphia, it was WWDB-AM that opened the door for me first. And I was the telephone screener for the Frank Ford Show and the Dominic Quinn Show for WWDB. I bet you there are some listeners out there right now. You're nodding your head. Oh, yeah, I remember them. I remember them. And so, yeah, that's how I got my start right here. So all these years later to come back home to Philadelphia to live, and only in town for 2 days. I had just moved back, and to have Cherie Darden, the publisher and owner of The Scoop, call me and say, I need you to fill in. And then I came in, and then still not knowing that I was going to have an opportunity to host my own show here at WWDB under the umbrella of the Inside Scoop. So God is good. God works in mysterious ways, and everything that happens for a reason. So I'm just thankful and grateful. Thankful and grateful. And that's how we should be 24/7, 365 days a year. Thankful and grateful. But today, for sure, I'm thankful and grateful as we prepare to go into the Thanksgiving holiday on tomorrow. I am hyped up and ready. Well, like I said, my guests will join us at just about 8:30 this morning, Reverend Gregory Holston and Reverend Sean James from the Salt and Light Church at 5736 Chester Avenue. They'll be talking about the 57 Plus Blocks Initiative. But meanwhile, before they come, let's take a look at some of the news stories that have been making headlines over the last 24 hours. Here's what's happening in the news. The Israeli government approved a deal early today that will see the release of some of the hostages held by Hamas, the government has said in a statement. The decision came after Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu convened his war cabinet to discuss the terms of the deal following recent progress in negotiations in Qatar. Now, the government of Israel is obligated to return home all of the hostages. Tonight, the government has approved the outline of the first stage of achieving this goal, according to which at least 50 hostages, women and children, will be released over 4 days, they're saying, during which a pause in the fighting will be held, the statement said, adding that the release of every additional 10 hostages will result in one additional day in the pause. Isn't this something? I tell you, this is... My heart just goes out to the hostages. My heart goes out to all the innocent people caught in the middle of this craziness. Now, Hamas leadership issued a statement on Telegram saying it had agreed to the deal, which it said included a ceasefire from both parties. The group, long designated a terrorist organization by Israel, the U.S., and many other nations, also thanked Qatar and Egypt for assisting with the negotiation. So we've got that story as a top story for us today, for sure. Now, according to the senior U.S. official, Qatar approached the U.S. and Israel to begin the talks on the release of the hostages in Gaza, asking that a cell be established to work on the issue very carefully, very secretly, given the difficult process of dealing with Hamas. The official added that Qatar made clear from the beginning that the taking of hostages is totally outrageous and that these hostages need to be released unconditionally. And I'm down with that. I say release the hostages for sure. And I'm just going to be prayerful and watching the news all day to see how this unfolds and praying that things go well and let these people get back with their families, because that is what we need. Now, locally, here's a story I want to share with you. Philadelphia Mayor-elect Sherelle Parker, she's planning to name Kevin Bethel as the city's next police commissioner. That's going to happen this morning. Bethel has been serving as chief of school safety for the School District of Philadelphia. Prior to that role, he was a deputy commissioner of the Philadelphia Police Department from 2008 to 2016. Now, Parker's transition team has not publicly confirmed her pick. A spokesperson for the team said Parker will formally announce her pick during that press conference a little bit later on this morning. I think the press conference is at 11 a.m. Bethel will take over a 5,800-member department that is facing the impending retirements of hundreds of officers, meaning the department will be nearly 1,000 officers short of its budgeted number of positions. You know what that means. He got to get the hiring folks right away. And then they have to go to training. You can't just hire a police officer today and they're on the force tomorrow. They have to go to the police academy. Bethel is a former captain and commanding officer of the 17th Police District in South Philadelphia. Two of the biggest concerns for Philadelphians are reducing crime and improving public safety. And that's just why it's going to be so fitting to have Reverend Gregory Halston and Reverend Sean James join us at 8:30 this morning to talk about the 57 Plus Blocks Coalition and their initiative to address crime in our city. And they're believing that they can help our next mayor and share some of their findings with Mayor-elect Sherelle Parker to assist her in moving her administration forward and addressing crime on our streets. Now, these two biggest concerns, again, reducing crime and improving public safety, they're both major initiatives for our city's next mayor. We know people are retiring. People looked at the number of people who are in DROP. That's the city's deferred retirement option plan, We have to do everything that we possibly can to encourage people to want to apply for jobs with the Philadelphia Police. That said by our mayor-elect Sherelle Parker. Now, former Philadelphia Police Commissioner Danielle Outlaw, you know, she resigned back on September the 22nd to take a job as a deputy chief security officer at the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey. And John Stanford took over as interim commissioner in Danielle Outlaw's absence. In a news conference after Election Day, Parker said she planned on announcing a new commissioner before the Thanksgiving holiday, and she is not disappointing us. She is officially doing it today, but we already know because the news media, they leaked it all before Sherelle could even have her press conference today. So there's that. Now, next big story that we are looking at and very concerned about, SEPTA, Transit Police. SEPTA Transit Police and the union representing its police will resume negotiations on a new contract. They've been still working at it. We understand that from SEPTA spokesperson Andrew Bush. Bush said SEPTA and the union had a productive dialogue during meetings on Monday and on yesterday. It had some sticking points. SEPTA Transit Police's 170 officers will remain on the job and not going on strike as of yet. The goal is to reach a fair contract without a strike, and they're looking forward to negotiations continuing today. We're praying about that. All right. The Fraternal Order of Police Lodge 109 sent back its third counteroffer of the day on Monday, and I believe they sent another counteroffer on yesterday. So we have to really see where they are at this point. But they're saying they're on track to lose 20% of operating funding when federal COVID relief funds run out if we don't get supplemental aid from the state. Bush said both parties are committed to working on the deal throughout the holiday week if necessary to keep officers. Oh, please keep our transit police officers off the picket line. Ooh, it's 8:27. I think we need to pause for the cause, share some important commercial announcements, and I think we got a commercial about North 22nd Street, and we're encouraging you to do holiday shopping on North 22nd Street. But if I don't have that spot, I've got a copy of it with me. I'll read it from my board live. That's what we can do. But stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
At home, at work, or on your travels, you don't have to miss a minute of your favorite WWDB shows. Download the free WWDB app to listen anywhere. You can also stream us live, listen to podcasts, and learn more about our great shows at WWDBAM.com. And you can always tune in on your phone or any smart speaker. Tell Alexa, play WWDB AM 860.
Do you have a community interest story? Tell us about it, and it may be featured in our next Scoop USA article or radio show. Whether it's a personal talent or a community service endeavor, we want to know. Contact us at scoopusamedia.com with your information, and a Scoop USA team member will respond to your inquiry. We are a community that builds from the ground up, and we thank you for being part of our foundation. Scoop USA, Black owned, Black run, Black excellence. Get scooped.
I want to get scooped. I love the Scoop USA newspaper, and I've been writing for the Scoop for about 44 years. So I'm the type that when I get with you, I don't leave you. I'll be loyal and faithful. I will stick with you as a worker. That has been my reputation over the years. And I like that. I like that. I like having some longevity in some of the things that I do, at least in some of the things that I do. Now, in matters of the heart, not so good. Haven't done well. Don't have a great track record in that area, but in the area of work and being loyal to the people that I work with and work for, that's Thera all the way through, up and down. All righty, so looking at the clock right now, it is 8:29. My guests will be joining me in just a moment or two, Reverend Gregory Holston and Reverend Sean James, to talk about the 57-plus Blocks Coalition Initiative. And they got a great program coming up, a great program coming up on November the 30th. So we'll talk with them in just a minute. And I know that one of my pastors is on the line right now, And the other one is logging in right now. So let me just do this story real quick as we get ready to talk about addressing violence in our city. A shooting in North Philadelphia has left two men dead and five others injured. That happened overnight, police said. The shooting happened in the area of 6th Street and Allegheny Avenue at around 8:30 p.m. Police said they found four men suffering from gunshot wounds nearby at the 3200 block of Fairhill Street. They were all taken to Temple University Hospital, where two of them were pronounced dead. Another three shooting victims, all men, walked into separate hospitals. One man walked into Temple Hospital, another went to Episcopal Hospital, and another went to Einstein Medical Center, authorities are reporting on today. This is crazy. This is absolutely crazy. The conditions of the other five men are unknown at this time. Police said they recovered at least five guns and drugs from the scene, and at least 70 shots were fired. This is a block that has had some narcotic activity, interim Philadelphia Police Commissioner John Stanford said. This isn't a block that we aren't familiar with. With that being said, I would say it's probably something connected to a narcotics trade, but I'm not going to say that with 100% certainty. The shooting, of course, remains under investigation. And one person is in custody and two women are going to be okay after a double shooting in Philadelphia's Port Richmond section yesterday afternoon. Police said a 75-year-old woman was shot once in the face. A 75-year-old woman? And a 41-year-old woman was shot once in her right shoulder when responding to 2600 Salmon Street at around 4:45 yesterday afternoon. Both of those women were taken to Temple University Hospital, where both were listed in stable condition. This is the Allegheny West Radio Show on WWDBAM Talk 860. You can check us out online at the WWDB website. That's www.wwdbam.com. Or you can listen on the radio, 860 on the AM dial. The reception is clear. It's crystal clear. It's crystal clear. So you can listen on the radio. And you can also listen and watch on the WWDBAM Facebook page. And that's where we are right now. I'm waving at you. And joining me at this time, at exactly 8:32 this morning, I've got Reverend Gregory Halston joining us. And we have Reverend Pastor Sean James joining us as well from the Salt and Water Church at 5736 Chester Avenue in Southwest Philadelphia. Good morning to both of you, Reverends.
Good morning.
Thank you. Thank you for being with us this morning. You're on a mission, and I purposely wanted to do those two news stories that I just did. You gentlemen were logging in on Zoom, and it fits right in, unfortunately, with what we're talking about. 57-plus blocks coalition and the initiative that you all have underway to try to do your part to help make things better and to welcome community folk and other community groups to work with you. You don't have to do it alone to make things better in Philadelphia in terms of crime and addressing the violence. So I don't know which one of you wants to start first.
Well, I'll try to start first.
Okay.
So glad to be with you and your audience. Again,
glad
I'm Reverend
to have
Greg
you.
Holton, and Senior Advisor of Policy and Advocacy at the District Attorney's Office and co-facilitator of the 57 Block Coalition. 70 plus organizations across the city of Philadelphia dedicated to reducing gun violence by deep investment in the hardest hit neighborhoods. And so we are having our citywide rally coming up on Thursday, November 30th. Reverend Sean James has been so generous to allow us to be at his church, Salt mm-hmm. and Light, mm-hmm. at 5736 Chester Avenue in Southwest Philadelphia. And we would love folk to be there to hear and join us in this movement for real change in the city of Philadelphia. This coalition is built upon actually a Philadelphia Inquirer article written in 2021, which listed 57 blocks in the in Philadelphia with 10 or more shootings since 2015. Mm. And they looked at those blocks and realized 53 out of the 57 were in redlined areas in the city of Philadelphia from the 1937 map. That means our government since the 1930s has targeted these particular areas, which were black and brown areas in the city of Philadelphia, for disinvestment, encourage investment in other areas and disinvestment in those areas. And so it shows the clear link by where you invest, you have safety. Where you do not invest in the community, you have the kind of violence that we're seeing.
Mm-hmm. And so it is important, very important, that you all continue the work that you started. I don't recall exactly when you all held your first press conference to announce this 57 Plus Blocks initiative. But what I do know is that you all, from the day you announced and started this particular vein of work, you've been working and working and you keep working. Let's bring Pastor Sean James into the conversation at this point, because your church, Salt and Water Church at 5736 Chester Avenue, is right there in the midst of the community where there was a mass shooting, what, 3-4 months ago?
Yes, ma'am. Over the July 4th weekend, the shooting itself was actually on July 3rd of this year. Young man came through the King Sessing neighborhood with an assault rifle, killed 5 individuals, wounded a 6th one that was in their car. And since that time, as a church, we've been really active in responding to both the families, like individually, making sure that we were able to help them as they navigate these uncharted waters, but also helping the community itself heal from the deep trauma that exists in our communities because of these shootings. You know, the mass shooting was just like an extra weight on top of a community that already deals with gun violence on a daily, nightly basis. And I'm really proud to be a part of the work of 57 Blocks, because it really is an organization that has brought together groups that are already doing this work. The interesting thing about Philadelphia is there are countless numbers of groups, many of them receiving very little funding other than reaching in their own pockets, who, you know, corner to corner, block to block, neighborhood to neighborhood, are trying to do something about this violent issue. So many of them around the city. And often they remain siloed and unable to connect with other organizations that are doing the same thing. And so what makes 57 Blocks special and unique is that it is a meeting house of all of these organizations that are trying to do the same work, and seeing if we can learn from one another, if we can collaborate in the work that we're doing, and really try to do something to stem the tide of violence that is happening. And there's some of that is already happening, but I think there's so much more that we can do working together.
Well, I certainly want to put my voice with other voices of community leaders and whatnot who want to say thank you to you, Pastor Sean James, for opening up your church like you've done. And I know you were doing great community work and services, and your church was open to the public before that mass shooting this past July. But since then, I understand that you've stepped it up like another 10 levels to be there to embrace the community and to let them know that Salt and Water Church is a place where they can come.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Just for correction, it's Salt and Light Church.
Salt and Light Church.
We need water too. It's all important. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor, for correcting me. I should have my flyer in front of me. Thank you for that.
I completely understand. It's no problem.
Yes. Now, Pastor.
We're proud of the relationship with Salt and Light Church. And actually, I should say, Salt and Light Church is a part of the Presbytery of Philadelphia. And the entire Presbytery of Philadelphia, about 120 congregations, belongs to the 57 Block Coalition. Many of those members of those congregations will be there on Thursday, November 30th, to support Salt and Light. And I also want to say, like I said, I've known Reverend Sean for maybe about 20 years now. Time moves quick. And I remember when he went to that new community to plant that congregation with the motive behind of really being a community church that would deal with the needs and the problems of that community. I'm so proud of his work there and his relationship, not just as the congregation has grown, but with the community as a whole. That means with the mosque that are there, the immigrant organizations that are part of that community, being a full-rounded community church, not simply thinking about salvation, even though that's very important.
Very important.
But thinking about actually the economic and cultural needs of the community as a whole. And so we're very strong in saying it's congregations and mosques and community organizations like his that need the investment, the public investment from community, from government and from the private sector, to really deal with gun violence in the most difficult and hardest hit communities. If we're really going to get our hands around this level of gun violence and bring it down to really where we need it to be, way below even 100 mm-hmm. homicides a year, we're going to have to really get deeply involved in community organizations like Reverend Sean James and Salt and Light.
I know that's right. Now, what can you say? Paint a picture for me on radio, if you would, of how the program will go on November 30th, because we really want to motivate and encourage people to be there, to show up. So what can you tell us now to let listeners know this gathering, this activity that you all are hosting on November the 30th, it's going to be worth their time?
Well, certainly a rally of this nature has a particular purpose, political purpose behind it, and that is to gear as much support around the idea of community investment. We need not just millions, but billions. And we need all our government officials aligned with that thought in mind as they do their work at the city level, state level, and federal level. So it's to galvanize all of us together around that effort. And so what we're doing starting at 6 o'clock, we're gonna have, for the first hour, we're going to hear from young people and other people who have
experienced. Thank you for putting the young people first. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. We want to hear their experiences and their stories. Mm-hmm. I think the key to understanding gun violence is to understand those who are the most affected, and that is young people.
Yes.
And we're dealing with young people who are experiencing incredible levels of poverty. As they tell their story, you'll hear it. And sometimes they have to align themselves with people who are not doing the right thing, because that's the only people that actually would take them in and hold mm-hmm. them in their homes. Mm-hmm. So we want to hear the fullness and the full mm-hmm. breadth of their story.
Mm-hmm.
Then we want to hear a little bit from the church, and Reverend Sean will come and share a little bit of that about the church itself.
Yes.
Then we're going to come and hear all of the data around gun violence. We have had about a 30% reduction mm-hmm. over the last 2 years. But we're coming down from an all-time high. We're going in the right direction, yeah. but we got a heck of a lot more further to go.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason we're going in the right direction really is community investment in our communities. And then we're going to hear from all of the leaders and hopefully government officials that support 57 Blocks that can be present. We're going to talk about our program, which includes a restorative justice, workforce development, credible message. Place-based services like yes. greening and lighting,
mm-hmm.
all not immediately, not in just in the long term, but even in the short term, reduces gun violence. We have study after study that shows this to be true.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get the financial resources together to make sure that we're doing all of these things that reduce gun violence now and reduce it in the future.
If there were just one solution that you could share with us, Reverend Sean James, right now, for our listening audience, that you think, or that someone else shared, as you all have had all these meetings and you've been doing the work, one solution that makes sense in your head that we might could employ to make things a little bit better in Philadelphia. And then I'm going to ask the same question of you, Reverend Halston.
Undoubtedly, every conversation that we have about this issue with the community, the number one thing that people are asking for is increased mental health awareness and increased mental health practitioners in the community to help people out. At the heart of so much of this are individuals who are just dealing with the trauma of life.
Mm-hmm.
They're dealing with one after the other. A lot of this is retaliatory violence, and not knowing or having the skills of coping with these situations, but also having the skills to mitigate some of the tension that exists on the street. And so, like, for us, that's been primary on our list right now. We've developed a ministry at the church where we've been able to bring in some fantastic African-American men and women. Because, you know, what often happens in our community as well is that when people do have access to mental health practitioners, they're often people that don't look like us, don't mm-hmm. think like us, are not culturally aware of what we're doing and what's happening in our community. And I can tell you, a 16-year-old black boy is going to pick up real quickly when they're sitting in front of someone who has no idea what their lived reality is. Mm. So we've been able to partner with some really good practitioners and are offering free mental health care right now.
Okay.
We've got both spiritual advisors and licensed therapists that are available to folks. And that's been one of the ways, I think, both as Pastor Greg said, both short-term and long-term. The short-term effects is that very quickly, once a person starts to regulate their own mental health issues, they just deal better with life. They deal better with tension. They deal better with their own stresses and traumas. But then long-term, they're able to, in their children and in those lives that they affect, also help them to pass on that those same type of coping mechanisms and skills that then go down and pass through generations and hopefully in long-term can also help some of these issues of violence in our community.
Very important, and I think a very good start on one of the ways in which we can address what we're seeing in our city of Philadelphia. Reverend Halston, what's another one of the solutions that you think could work for Philadelphia?
I could give another solution, but I think doubling down on what Reverend Sean James is just extremely important.
Mm-hmm.
Philadelphia Inquirer polling piece indicated that when responses across the city were asked the same question, 87% of them put mental health services and addiction services at the top of the list. While, you know, and I should note, the last one was more funding for police, which was 58%. So people understand this mental health piece is really large and really is about trauma. On these 57 blocks, when a 6 or 7 or 8 year old child sees a shooting, and does not get any trauma services to process
and
what
they
saw,
help.
In that forming time of their own mental capacity, then when they go untreated for that trauma, now 16, 17, 8 years old, 18 years old, you see the evidence of them not being treated in the coldness of their heart in dealing with violence themselves. Men, it's been said over and over, hurt people hurt people. And that is the case. Traumatized people traumatize other people as well. And we got to get there early on those young people. We got to get those blocks that have been completely traumatized from grandmom all the way down to the littlest child, from uncle to cousin. We need to try. We need complete treatment going across the board in every place that folk come, whether it's a church or a mosque, a community organization, a rec center. We need thorough trauma treatment across the city to deal with the pandemic and to deal with this gun violence pandemic. It is mandatory. It is necessary. We need to get healthy and healthy as soon as we can.
Oh, you're laying down some truths for me this morning. I wish I had more time, but I don't. But I'll tell you this much. I'm going to be doing some more radio programming over the next 5 days. And every day that I'm on the radio, here, there, or wherever I am, I'm going to be talking up the 57 Plus Blocks Initiative, your coalition, and the fact that you're having this wonderful program on Thursday, November the 30th. Be there starting at 6 p.m. Come on out to the Salt and Light Church and join with Pastor Sean James and join with Reverend Gregory Halston and all the rest of the partners that are working and walking with you and doing the legwork every day so that we can continue to make our city better and be prepared to help, Mayor-elect Sherelle Parker as she's coming into office in January to do her part so that we can all be a team. It's a village to make things better. Thank you both of you pastors for joining me this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. All the best on next Thursday, and I hope that I'm able to be there with you as well. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And looking at the clock right now, it's 8:49, and I got to get back on the phone line because I have the dynamic duo, husband and wife team, Sophia and Brother Charles Brewer. They are the co-owners of Jazzy Shears, fantastic hair salon on North 22nd Street in the heart of North Central Philadelphia. And they've got a product out now, a product that they're selling, and it's called Black Jasmine, I believe. So good morning to you, Sophia and Charles. Thank you for joining me. I know you're busy today, but I'm glad you took a slice of time out to talk to me. You got to come off mute. Can't hear you. Come on, Charles. You there? Got to take. There you are. There you are. How are you this morning? Oh, I've got a terrible echo. I don't know where that's coming from. Do you have the radio on? Are you listening to the radio while you're doing the interview? You have to turn your...
No, you know what? But I have my cell phone.
Yeah, that's right, probably... Okay. Well, turn that down, the audio down, and talk to me. So
sounds better now?
Yes, much better. So things are popping already, I know, over at Jazzy Shears today. It's the day before a holiday, and ladies and men want to look good. People want to look good, so they're in there getting their hair done and the other services that you provide at Jazzy Shears. Give your address. Give the location for Jazzy Shears.
We are located at 3201 North 22nd Street.
I know that's right.
I mean, it's right in the business district of, I guess, the Allegheny Avenue area.
Yes, yes.
Businesses. We are right on the corner of 22nd and Indiana.
And you're one of the premier businesses that we have on North 22nd Street. I am so very proud of you and your wife and what you all do and how committed you've been since the time you landed on North 22nd Street. You all are doing a great work. But more recently, you and your wife came up with some hair care products. Can you talk about Black Jasmine?
Black Jasmine unto itself is a, I mean, sometimes it surprises me even. my wife was the actual creator of the product itself, made with all natural products. This individual product, it caters to all types of hair, all nationalities.
Really? Really?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. So, yes, it does have the name Black Jasmine, but this is a multicultural hair care product. It, for instance, the one I'm actually holding.
Great.
Two.
Great.
Two of the, this one right here, well, this would be me. It's called Waves Weigh In. The weigh in, of course, of it is a hit back at me and what I used to do anyway.
Boxing in the boxing world. By the way, to our listening audience, we've got a boxing champion that we're interviewing right now. Yes, he's the co-owner of Jazzy Shears with his beautiful, beautiful wife, but he's a boxing champion in his own right. We're proud of you, Charles Brewer from Philadelphia. You go, boy.
Oh, yeah.
You go, boy.
So the product this here, the one that we have, Waves Way In, this actually was somewhat blew my mind. My wife had made the product by herself. And initially, I hadn't given it a go or given it a try. My son did it. And he, you know, put it up, put it in his hair, styled his hair, began brushing. And I'm looking at him like, you got to be kidding me. I'm like, there's no way in the world. I'm like, where is it? Listen, the name Waves Weigh In, this is a winner.
Okay. Now, is that just for men? Is that just for men or can women unisex?
Again, yeah.
Okay. Unisex. All right, okay. Show me that other product real quick because we're running out of time, my producer says.
This one here, this is the growth oil that we have. This one, too, is a product more than probable. Those will definitely be using this. Helps it assists in the hair growth process in the hair. It's like food to the hair.
Fantastic. And it's another great product. Is there a website? Because people need to go and look at your website so that they can see how they can purchase your products, whether they come to Jazzy Shears or if you, I don't know if you mail any products out or what have you, but give me the website.
Yes. We have, just changed that. Let me just give me 1 second.
Okay, 1 second. 1 second. No, you're listening to the Allegheny West Radio Show, and we are almost out of time. And I want to encourage everybody to shop on North 22nd Street. Shop till you drop on North 22nd Street. We've got all kinds of different stores on North 22nd Street, but we definitely have some fabulous hair care salons and barbershops. We're talking to two of the proud owners right now, Sophia and Charles Brewer. They own the Jazzy Shears Beauty Salon. And is the website, I think I see Sophia. You in this shot right quick?
Yes, I am.
Hi, beautiful.
A few seconds.
Okay.
How are you?
Good, good, good.
It's the website is Black Jasmine, N as in natural, P as in products.com. So Black Jasmine, MP.com. And you can buy everything online, and we do have it in the salon as well. And on Saturday, if you buy one, you get one half off.
Okay, I'm coming Saturday. I'm going to swing by Saturday. I'm going to get the products for my hair. I absolutely will be there or be square, okay?
All right.
And
Thank you.
I just appreciate you all so much for hanging in there, continuing to be one of the premier business owners on North 22nd Street. God bless you. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving tomorrow. And I'm glad to know that on Saturday you will be open. I'm going to stop by.
All right, thank you.
I love you all. Take care.
You too. Take
care. All right, bye-bye. I tell you, I love our business owners on North 22nd Street, but you know what? I love small business owners citywide. Philadelphia has so much to offer. It's got so much promise. And as we come into January 2024 with Mayor-elect Sherelle Parker, we are believing that there's even more great things coming our way in this town. Everybody have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And remember, whatever you do, wherever you go, life is fragile. Handle it with prayer. The holiday season is upon us, and now is the time when many people start shopping for gifts for their loved ones and close friends. We encourage you to come and shop in the neighborhood along the North 22nd Street Business Corridor. We have a number of fabulous women's clothing boutiques and accessory stores, including Festique Boutique at 3147 North 22nd Street, Lorraine's Upscale On Sale Boutique at 2827 North 22nd Street, Zara's World, 2922 North 22nd Street, and a number of other wonderful women's specialty shops. For holiday celebrations, you want the best meat in town? Come to Dave's Meats at 2831 North 22nd Street. For the best seafood in town, come to Pacific Fish and Seafood, 2918 North 22nd Street. For watches, fancy clocks, jewelry, small speakers, and household products, check out Rainbow Electronics at 2861 North 22nd Street. There's a little something for everyone along the North 22nd Street Business Corridor, stretching from 22nd and West Lehigh down to 22nd and West Allegheny. We have 15 beauty salons or barbershops. We have at least 10 restaurants, a hardware store, the famous Denise's Bakery, Eric Holt Optical with an optician on site, Dr. M. Malik Dentist. And at 2001 West Lehigh, we've got the Black Doctors Consortium Medical Center on the grounds of Deliverance Evangelistic Church. We've got it going on along the North 22nd Street Business Corridor and throughout the area. Come spend some money with small business owners this holiday season.